for Jesus. Yes. Captain of our salvation.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Thank God.
Yes.
Think of that old ship of Zion. Amen. One day she'll make port. Thank God. Battered and bruised on the outside, but everybody safe on the inside.
Yes, sir.
Thank God. I'm glad I'm in the boat. Good to be here this morning. Good to be saved. Most of all, I'm thankful. The Lord's been mighty good to us.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Now, if we dwelled on everything that's bad, we wouldn't have enough time to get it all talked about. Amen.
Bless you, preacher.
But I've made up my mind to get in the glory way.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Thinking about the goodness of God, and it's His goodness that lead men to repentance. Praise the Lord, because truth is, it's not a fact of we ought to be on our way to hell. We all ought to already be there. That's how bad off we are outside. That we brought upon ourselves. Amen. But the Lord Jesus Christ took upon Himself the penalty of mankind. We had a debt that we could not pay. But it's a debt we owe. But Jesus come and paid it off. Now, He didn't just rubber stamp it.
Let
me give you this. You can go to the bank up at Boaz, and you can see where I had at one time borrowed money. Now, you'll find the paperwork where they stamped it with a rubber stamp that says paid in full. But the paperwork's still there where at one time I did owe them. It's still there. They've got a record of it. But what the Lord does is better than that.
Praise the Lord.
Because I was a sinner, according to the Scripture. Fallen man. Cut apart from God. I wasn't just kind of lost. I was all the way lost. But when you get to the filing cabinet in heaven and go to where the C file is and find my name, there won't be anything there. Over at the bank, you can see where I did owe. Up there, as far as God's concerned, there's never been anything wrong with me. Thank God for Jesus. Amen. He didn't just rubber stamp it and file it away. Amen. He paid the debt and throwed it away. There's no record against me. Amen. And if that don't stir you up and light you wood, then your wood's too wet. Amen. I'm glad the record's gone against me. He cast my sin as far away as the east is from the west. Brother Raymond said, put it in the sea of forgetfulness and put that sign up that says no fishing. Amen. That's how saved I am. If you got any more saved than I am this morning, you'd have to be gone. Praise the Lord. I'm saved as you can be here and still stay here. But one day after a while, we're going to get a body that's saved. And this inward man that's saved is going to shed this outer man that ain't. Amen. Going to have a meeting in the air with the body that is saved. That's why he talks about lift up your head. Amen. Look up. For your redemption draweth nigh. Amen. It's not that we're not redeemed now. We're redeemed in here now on the inside. But up there we're going to get a saved body on the outside. And the Bible says we are complete in Him. Praise the Lord. I'm not complete when you look at me because you still see what's wrong on the outside. But God sees what's on the inside. And I'm complete in Him. I'm as saved as you can get. Praise the Lord. I'm not trying to get saved, not working on it. It's a done transaction. Praise the Lord. I'm His and He's mine. Thank God for Jesus Christ. He came and settled the debt. Praise the Lord. He came first to satisfy a sovereign God. Amen. The Bible said He came full of grace and full of truth. He came full of truth to reveal God. Full of grace to redeem man. He had to die first to satisfy the sovereign God. And He died second to save a sorry sinner like me. Praise the Lord. God had to first be satisfied. Amen. God swung the gavel in glory as the great and mighty judge, and he looked down and he saw his son without spot and without blemish, and he spoke from the heavens unto his own disciples, and he said, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." Hallelujah. God swung the gavel in heaven and said, "I am satisfied." Praise the Lord. He's not satisfied with me. He's not satisfied with you. But when he saw his son and the sacrifice, Isaiah in chapter 53, long before the crucifixion, God opened his eyes and let him look down the channels of the future, and he saw a crucified Savior. Amen. He saw a lamb without spot, a lamb without blemish. Amen. And Isaiah said, "It pleased the Lord to bruise him." I don't understand that. Brother Howard, I've read that many, many times, and I do not understand that. But the Bible said it pleased God to bruise him. Amen. Now he became a curse for us, according to the scripture, Brother Jeff. And the Bible says, "Cursed is every man that hangeth on a tree." He hung between the earth and the heavens. He was nailed on a tree and became a curse for us. Amen. God cursed his own son on your behalf and unleashed his wrath on his only begotten son. And God said, "I was pleased to bruise him." Amen. I don't understand it. The Bible said he was led as a sheep to a slaughter in Isaiah 53, yet he opened not his mouth. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. It's not just any cross, it's his cross this morning. And God judged his son on my behalf. There wasn't nothing wrong with it, but he took my sin to the tree, and he nailed the law to the tree, all the ordinances to the tree. Hallelujah. And he freed us from the bondage of sin, the curse of sin, and the bondage of the law. Now we're set free. Hallelujah. This morning. And I'm not just free, I'm free indeed. Hallelujah. And God set us free from sin's curse. We're no longer the servants of sin, but we're the servants of God by his marvelous grace. Amen. Preacher, you sound like you're stirred up. I am stirred up. Praise the Lord. Stir up your pure mind, Paul said to Timothy, by way of remembrance. It'd do us well to look back at Calvary one more time and survey the cross and see what really happened there. Amen. They didn't just kill a man there. It wasn't just any man, but it was the God man. Amen. And every one of us is guilty. We all nailed him to the tree. We all cried, "Crucify him. Crucify him." Amen. You're as guilty as I am this morning. We've coerced a young generation into believing that they can memorize a few verses and agree with a Roman road or a Roman passage in Romans chapter 10 and intellectually be saved. There's no such a thing as intellectual salvation. Amen. It must take the supernatural act of the Holy Ghost of God to awaken your conscience and make you realize that you're lost. You want to know why people need an altar? Amen. Because that's where they got to die. Amen. That's what's wrong with religious people today. They're claiming to be saved and they never have died. You've got to die before you can live. Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. You must die in order to live. That's what the cross does. It carries a death penalty. Amen. Praise the Lord. Preacher, I have people all the time say, "What's the title of your message?" I don't have a title for a message. It's the Bible. Amen. If you don't know what the title is, it's called the Bible. Praise the Lord. It's the Word of God without any mixture of error. Thank God, that's one article we got right. Praise the Lord. It's infallible and without any mixture of error. Yeah, but men wrote it, preacher. It wasn't just any men. It was men filled and inspired by the Holy Ghost of God. It wasn't men that authored the book, but it was the Holy Spirit of God. You'd be surprised how many Baptists believes there's three gods. I'm telling you, there's not but one God and three manifestations of God. Jesus said, I and my Father are one. Oh, friend, listen. He said, if you've seen me, you have seen the Father. Hallelujah. He's not a part of God. He is God in the flesh. And the Holy Spirit of God is the minister. He's the preacher. He's the manifestation of God in the spiritual realm. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. People say, preacher, you need to go talk to them sinners. And we do need to be a witness. We do need to testify. And we do need to let our light shine. Amen. But there's been a lot of church services I've been the moderator of down through the years. I've been trying to do this 28 going on 29 years. And I'm still learning. I understand. I'm still a student. I understand. I'm going to tell you this morning, friend, how when sinners make their way to an old-fashioned altar, they don't need me to talk them into getting saved. You can't talk people into getting saved. If the Holy Spirit of God don't reveal to them what's wrong with them, there's nothing I could say or do that'll ever help them in their life. Amen. Leave them alone and let God do the work this morning. Praise the Lord. You'll find this morning that I don't drag them. I don't entice them. Amen. Praise the Lord. Neither should you. We need to make sinners uncomfortable rather than comfortable. That's what's wrong with church services today. We're trying to make the world feel comfortable in here. There's something backwards about that. That old fire that fell from heaven when Elisha prayed, and the fire fell from the glory world and consumed the wet altar. You know the story. Amen. There was a fire that fell that day. And if you'll read the Bible and do your math, you'll find there was 850 procrastinators and Gnostics and skeptics and God haters and God deniers. 850 prophets of Baal that were witnesses to the fire that fell from heaven. They were convinced just prior to his prayer that their God would answer by fire. Amen. The reason I know they were persuaded, they begged, they pleaded, they cut themselves, they squalled, they bawled, they hollered, they screamed for their God, their idol God, to answer by prayer. They were persuaded, they were serving the right God, they were following the right God. But when the man of the true God prayed and the fire of heaven fell and consumed the altar, 850 prophets of a pagan God cried out and said, the Lord, He is the God. You want to know what will persuade sinners and make them believe in the real God? Amen. It's called the fire of God. You know why church needs fire? In order for sinners to get saved. Hallelujah. You can't sing them in. You can't do it by talent, by skits and shows. There must be some fire that falls from the other world that awakens their conscience and makes them know that God is God, and besides Him, there is none other. Amen. They wouldn't even acknowledge God until the fire came. That's why I don't stand on a stage and debate with God deniers and so-called atheists. God didn't call us out to debate with them. I get troubled every time I turn on the radio or the TV and I hear that Dr. So-and-so is going to have a debate with a Gnostic. God don't call preachers to debate. He calls them to preach. Let it lay where it lays. Amen. We had a great president one time, the 16th. His name was Abraham Lincoln. You may not thought he was great, but I think he was great. I think he'd done a great work when he was in office. I've read after his history. A lot of people may disagree with his politics. But there were some things the man said and the things the man done and the way the man lived that taught us that if Americans don't hold fast that which is good, then not will only the devil take them away from us, But we will trade them off for something else. So the devil, a lot of times, you see, he don't have to take away from us because we get so numb in our conscience toward God, we wind up giving it away for something else. And Abraham Lincoln said this one time. He said, people are about as happy as they want to be. You see, I love simple truth because I'm a simple kind of man. I grew up on the farm, you see. And what I know about life, I've learned by experience or by observation. I'm not against learning from a book. Some things you can learn from a book. But I'm going to tell you, the greatest wisdom of life is by experience and observation. Oh, our forefathers, you see, with ill education in their life, had such great wisdom about living, didn't they? And Abraham Lincoln said, people are about as happy as they want to be. And I've always took that statement and said, people are as close to God as they want to be. Now, happiness is very conditional, isn't it? Amen. I mean, anything can affect our happiness. But I'm glad for some deep settled joy down in my heart, you see. I've gone through the valley myself and probably going to have to go through it again. But I can tell you this, there's a fire down in my bosom. There's something down in there that awakened me one time. And people don't believe and then stop believing. You see, when people believe, the Bible says, believeth. And I've talked to you about that before. That means a continuation, amen, of the core word, whatever it is. So if you believeth, that means you're still believing. If you repenteth, that means you're still repenting. Oh, yes. Paul said, Timothy, continue thou in the things thou hast learned and hast been assured of. You know what the grand mark of a true Christian is? They're pressing on. Pressing on. Oh, friend, today I'm not asking you to be happy. I'm asking you to get saved so you can get some joy. Amen. You see, you need to find the truth. Happiness is such an external thing, but joy is internal. Isn't that right? Oh, yes. And that's what we need this morning. Preacher, you're going to read a text. I've quoted several. I don't know a lot of times when I get up here. You see, I'm not much of a plan. I've heard the outlines. I'm not too impressed. And, you know, I write some things down, Brother Jeff, and I try to, discipline my own studies and the way that I do things, and everybody's got their own way, and that's fine. Amen. But I've heard the outlines in the pulpit, and I'm not very impressed. Amen. Now, I have too much trouble staying in line. I don't really need an outline. I need to stay in line, you see. Amen. And that's what most Christians need. We don't really need an outline. We need to stay in line with the Word of God. Amen. You know, there's preachers that do things different, and I'm not against that. There's those that are loud, and there's those that are quieter. You know, we need those weeping Jeremiahs. We need those kind of preachers. Amen. We need those preachers like Isaiah that's full of wisdom and prophetic and have all that knowledge that they can expound on. We need those kind of preachers. Amen. We need those Peters, you know, that's kind of rough around the edges and just tell you like it is and get right up in your face. We need that. We need them John the Baptist, you know. Amen. That'll just preach it like it is and lay it out there straight regardless of the cost, regardless of the consequence. God's got a preacher everywhere all the time that's in line doing it right and staying right. I like that this morning. And it's not preaching loud, preaching quiet that makes a preacher. It's not the outward way that he carries on. It is the boldness of the Holy Spirit that makes it preaching this morning. The preacher is the Holy Spirit. God just uses men as tools and vessels to get the message to you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I don't know if you feel what I'm feeling right now. But I'm thankful that I know salvation is not about feelings, but right now I feel saved. You can't get saved and it not affect your feelings. Praise the Lord. And right now I feel saved. Now, tomorrow morning you call me, it might be a different tune. I don't know. Monday mornings tend to do that to us. But I'm glad that God sends a fire. The fire makes people comfortable sometimes, and sometimes it makes them uncomfortable. You remember when Peter followed from afar off and he wound up warming by a fire of unbelievers? Warming by their own fire. You see, he was trying to find comfort in that fire. He was trying to soothe his conscience by that fire. But the fire wound up making him uncomfortable. Oh, friend, this morning, I don't want your children to be misled. I promise you, I'm going to love them as much as a preacher can love them. I'm going to love them as much as I can and as much as my own. If that were possible, I'm going to do it. I'm going to take you all and wrap my arms around you and love you as much as I can. But I'm not going to lie to you. Amen. I don't want your children, when they get lost, I don't want them to be comfortable around the fire. I want them to get lost. I want them to have their own testimony. I want them to be able to stand and say what the Lord done for me. That blind boy, he got his eyes touched. His parents were asked what was going on with that boy. And they said, he's of age, ask him.
Right.
Amen. If you got a testimony of salvation, I believe it'll come out of you.
Yeah.
Some church folks concern me. They concern me greatly. And the reason is because they don't have much to say about when and where and why the Lord saved them. That concerns me this morning. You don't have to be as loud as I do. Amen. But I believe somewhere in you, if there's ever been a fire lit in you, that fire will come out of you in some way. I believe that with all my heart. There's no way to get saved and not be changed. There's three changes that take place. Internal, external, eternal. Three changes that take place. And if all three of those changes haven't taken place in your life, then you need to take inventory of yourself. Amen. I believe that with all my heart. There's a lot of things that are perception. And I do believe, and I'm closing. I know we've got to close. We've got a long day in front of us. There's some things that deal with perception I believe we should honor. There's some I believe we should excuse and dismiss. You see this suit and tie that I'm wearing this morning? That is the expectations of you. You wouldn't think much of me this morning coming up here as your pastor wearing a t-shirt and some cut-off jeans now, would you? I doubt seriously I'd be here as your pastor if that was the way I carried on. Your expectation is that we follow the traditions of what people expect. Preachers need to wear a suit and a tie, don't they? That's what we expect. That's our perception. But do you really believe there's any preaching in this? No preaching in this. I've heard men preach in Liberty overalls.
Yes, sir.
And done some good preaching too.
Yes, sir.
There's no preaching then. But your expectation and your perception of what our culture expects this morning forces me to honor those things and be in subjection to those things. What did Paul say? To the wise I became wise.
Right.
To the fools I became one. All those things. He would go up and go down. He said, I'm all things. I'm all things. That's right. And I believe we should submit to that, be in subjection to that, and have self-discipline about those things. But can we look just beneath our perceptions this morning and understand that we haven't cornered the market on anything? I love this church. This church has got a history like none other than I know. And I want to tell y'all publicly, one of the most humbling experiences of my life is standing here this morning. Just standing in this place. That's an humbling experience. The first time I ever stood here was in September of 1992. It's been a long time ago now, and I was just a kid preacher. Still feel like a kid preacher. And every time Brother Raymond would ask me to come up here, it scared me to death. what shoes to fill, what expectations that people have. Oh, what an humbling experience that it is. And it ought to be this morning. But I want you to know something. Amen. We're not doing anything this morning that is going to impress God. And we're not doing anything this morning that's going to corner the market on what God has ultimately planned for the future. So I say this to you this morning. As small as our part is in this world, our part's important. Our part is meaningful. It may not reach out into all the crevices of this world, but right here on Sand Mountain, Antioch Church has got a job to do. Amen. Now I'm all for foreign missions. I love the fact that I'm a missionary Baptist, and I want to support it as much as I can. But God help me that I would send funds to a foreign mission and my neighbor across the road, lost and undone, never even heard the name of Jesus, and I wouldn't even take the time to walk over there and tell them about the Lord. Oh, we need to get our priorities right. God's given us a ministry right here, and we need to get after it. We need to get that fire, don't we? There's something attractive about a fire. Amen. It'll draw things in. And I say to you this morning, let's get a hold of that fire. Let's get that fire stirred up in us this morning. I stir you up, Paul said, by way of remembrance. Let's remember who we are and where we come from. As highly as I think of my mentor and your mentor, Brother Raymond, you see, he was a man just like any other man. Sometimes I thought he was a superman. But as I got older, he talked to me some, and he would tell me about some of the troubles of life. He told me one time, I may not should tell this secret on him, he said, but Brother Childers, he said, I couldn't tell you at the times I walked from that parsonage across that yard to this building and had done made up my mind I was going to quit and go back to Georgia. He said, but God would give me locked jaw, and I couldn't say nothing about it. He said, and I had to stay. And I thought to myself, surely not. You see, when I announced my call to preach, Brother Max, I thought everybody loved me too. But I found out there's only a handful that really loved me, really cared for me. The most hated man in America is still the preacher. But I say this morning that a preacher is the best thing that we have. It's the best thing we have. Thank God for our heritage. Thank God for every message that went over this book board. And I want to do my part to uphold that and honor that standard and fill those shoes, because somebody's got to do it, Brother Jeff.
Yes, sir.
Our children and our grandchildren are depending on it. It's all in the balance, and we need that fire this morning more than we've ever needed it. I look across this building and I see people that have what it takes, because you've already done it. Now we press on and we keep moving forward, forgetting those things which are behind. Not that we wipe it from our memory. That's not what the Bible's trying to say. It's trying to say you can't drop your anchor back there. You've got to press on. And what brought the glory before is what's going to bring it today. And it's that fire coming from heaven. It's not because you got a brand name preacher or a brand name evangelist for revival. It's because something's coming from there and getting down here. Praise the Lord. And that means whether he's wearing a suit or a pair of Liberty overalls. If it's not coming from there, it ain't going to get the job done. Stand to your feet this morning. We're going to get a song. We're going to close the service. It's 11 o'clock. We want to make time this afternoon for the funeral service. But we do need to make time for an invitation. If you need to come and pray, tonight, today's the day of salvation. The best I can tell in the scripture, today's the only day of salvation, because tomorrow may never come. We don't have a hope of tomorrow. This outward man is doomed to die. It's once appointed unto man to die, and after this, the judgment. So today is the day of salvation, and the Bible continues and said, now is the accepted time. If the Lord is speaking to your heart this morning and troubled you, would you make your way to the altar? We'd love to pray with you and for you this morning. We want you to be saved, but the Lord wants you to be saved more than we want you to be saved.
Right.
Amen. And while there's hope and there's time, during this song, if you need to slip out, come. You come. Go ahead and sing. What's your number, brethren?
Page 44. 44.